For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Guardians trying to get off the schneid here, trying to get a victory after dropping 3 to Milwaukee and, you know, clinging to this lead in the American League Central. They now have 3 games in New York against the Yankees. Tonight's game is on regional, and then tomorrow's game is on Prime Video, and then Thursday's game is on MLB Network. So 1:05 start for Thursday's game. Gavin Williams starts in that one. So, Jeff, just your thoughts on the moves that they had to make yesterday, in particular Alex Cobb with the busted fingernail, and then, I mean, if you really want to look at it, you can look at the big picture of the trade deadline with Lane Thomas, who's really struggling at the plate.
And in all sincerity, it's a shame that these moves haven't worked out yet. Key word is yet. There's no way Lane Thomas continues to hit 113, and I think he'll be better. I'm not going to say he'll be fine. I'm not going to say he's going to be awesome. He'll be better. I feel real bad for the guy. He was so pumped up about the trade, Andy. Right, he took the late flight, shows up in Detroit, and is able to play in the afternoon game. He's pumped to be on a team that's here and blah, 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 blah. And he's not done a very good job yet. Yet is the key word. You confident that he's going to get it together?
No.
Are you confident that he's going to hit better than 113?
I would hope so. I mean, Miles Straw is sitting there. You could bring him up. But they also made another move yesterday that makes me think they might be thinking about something else.
Estevan Florial's hitting higher than that.
I don't know. I don't see this organization bailing on someone after just a couple weeks.
I don't either.
They just don't.
But we actually did look. He's got an option left.
Oh. Well, then maybe they use the option.
I wouldn't that be awful? You trade for somebody at the trade deadline, you give up a couple of decently thought of prospects, and you have to send them to AAA?
I hate to say this, but is his paycheck the same? I mean, that's not the right way to look at it, and I don't think that's the way they look at it, but
I mean, at the end
of the day.
I don't think they do that, and I hope he finds himself. I hope he's able to figure it out, in all sincerity. I mean, who wants the poor guy to hit 113? Nobody. And then you traded for a guy, you didn't give up, and nothing against the young guy you sent to the Giants, but you gave up another young left-hander, a 19-year-old left-handed prospect, and you get Alex Cobb, who hadn't pitched an inning in the majors this year, and you're assuming he's going to be good to go, right? Now, he had a blister issue. So since last year when he pitched, he's had hip, shoulder, blister, fingernail. And he's had two appearances for the Guardians. Now, that's a shame, because I thought that was a pretty good move.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that was a good trade, I thought. All right, you gave up a young guy who knows what happens in his career, but you're here now. You're in first place. You need another arm. This guy's been a real competitor in his career. Great move. And I thought the Lane Thomas trade was a good move because you needed an outfielder and you brought in somebody with a track record. I'm a little surprised that neither one's worked out so far and that right now they both look like bad deals. I mean, you're not getting help, and that's what you traded for was help, and that's not happening yet. I don't know Lane Thomas. There's no way he doesn't start to play better. There's no way he doesn't start to play better. But I wonder if the organization's going to be patient enough with him to give him the at-bats to let him hit his way out of this, Andy. Because why? Because your lead's down to 2 games.
Yeah, there's a couple different ways to look at this. One, I do think it's weird that even though they're only have a 2.5 game lead now.
2.5, yeah, thank you.
2.5 on the Twins and the
God
Royals.
God bless the Twins for continuing to lose.
Yeah.
Although the Royals have won 5 straight.
True. You're still 20 games over .500. So, I mean, if you kind of...
It's a wonderful season.
Well, if you rip out your rearview mirrors and just keep playing baseball, you're going to be okay. It's when you start looking in the rearview mirror, I think that's when you've got troubles. And this is going to be really interesting 3 games. I'm just win one is kind of where I'm at this with the Yankees. I mean, they're 73-52. They're 20 games over. They're in the East, you know, and they're clinging to a half-game lead over the Orioles. So there's pressure on the Yankees, too, to maintain where they are. I can't see the Guardians bailing on Thomas, but
I can't either.
I am really intrigued, and I know we're going to talk about this, is by Chase DeLauter moving up from AA to AAA.
I'm sorry, repeat that, please.
To move Chase DeLauter up to AAA yesterday. Mm.
Andy, you don't move a guy up from AA when he's hot to AAA and hope he stays hot and all of a sudden he's in the majors. Oh, wait a minute.
It smells that way, doesn't
Maybe
it?
Maybe you do.
Doesn't it smell that way?
Well, honestly,
I mean, he's your number two prospect in the system.
Honestly, it does. His spring training was incredible. Then he got hurt.
Yeah, I didn't realize that he didn't even have a spot in the locker room. The Hoynsey story was pretty good today.
Was
and by
great,
the way,
Hoynsey's
with us at 1 o'clock.
Yeah. As soon as I saw DeLauter was moved up, I thought, okay, he's here by September. If he goes to Columbus and hits, and I don't mean like 400. I mean, if he hits like 275, mm-hmm. he could be here. Don't you think?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Nothing makes a organization happy than having a high draft pick be able to work their way up into the system and be with a big league club as soon as possible. If they're without having to, you know, although that the time served stuff and all that stuff, I don't know if that still weighs the same as it used to. I think it does for our organization, but
especially when the move you made at the trade deadline's not working. If Lane Thomas was hitting 290, we're not thinking this.
No, they might still move him up to Columbus, though. That might not. I mean, that's still.
Oh, they might
happen.
Move him to Columbus, but he wouldn't. I mean, you and I, when we saw that, we both thought the exact same thing. Wait a minute, the guy's hot in AA. He's been injured, but he's hitting the ball really well. Move him up to AAA. He stays hot. Boom, he's here. We both thought the same thing. Well, whether that happens or not, who knows? You know, the one thing about this that's tough. You know, our team made a move at the trade deadline. Just for giggles, the Baltimore Orioles picked up Eloy Jimenez mm-hmm. from the White Sox. He's hitting 359 since he's been an Oriole.
Mm.
Okay, that's working out for him. They also picked up Trevor Rogers from Miami, pitcher. You know, so they made a move to get a starting pitcher, and he has not had a good start with them so far. And I know that because I've picked him up a couple of times in my silly fantasy league.
Shocker.
And he has not been
Shocker.
Good. And so, you know, that's not good. His ERA with Baltimore in four starts is 7.11. So, you know, it's not like teams made trades at the trade deadline that are absolutely lights out right now. You're taking a chance at the trade deadline. The Guardians did so far. Andy, and I stress that, so far, they haven't worked out. If Alex Cobb can heal up his fingernail, I like the idea of him down the stretch. And if Lane Thomas can just have a good two or three games in a row, maybe that's enough to snap him out of it, and you just put him in center field and you call it a day. Or maybe you just decide we're going to flat out platoon him because he's been much better against left-handed pitching, but that would mean you're not going to get a huge opportunity to play him because most of the pitchers you're going to face are righties.
I'm not saying that this is just a weird hypothetical as we're sitting here talking about this. What if, we'll just say Lane Thomas got hurt. Okay, I'm not saying that he was.
Boy.
I wonder if they would have just taken DeLauter all the way from AA to the pros quick. Or would you
the organization's use that other high-paid? Usually pretty patient about not rushing, not cheating the process, I guess.
Yeah, I know I'm probably missing someone, but the last couple times I can remember that would have been, like, didn't CC do a straight jump from AA?
From AA.
And so
only because Charlie Manuel insisted on it.
And so did, why am I forgetting, big tall pitcher. And then ended up having to go back down to AAA later in his career. Oh, this is going to bother me for the whole show.
Oh, good.
I'll remember it here in a second. But yeah, they don't rarely do that, but it made me wonder, like, what if Thomas got hurt? I wonder if he is your number two prospect, right? And are we worried about ego at,
you can't,
I mean, would Miles Straw be the guy that they would call up? You know what I'm saying?
I'm not kidding when I say Estevan Florial. You brought him in here because you thought he had some pop in his bat. Nothing against Miles Straw. I know he's hitting well in AAA. Miles doesn't have pop in his bat. We know that. He's a great glove. Okay, well, Tyler Freeman doesn't have pop in his bat right now, and he's a great glove. We have that right now. But Miles is hot in AAA. If I'm looking to AAA for a guy right now, Andy, I'm giving Florial the first look.
Jason Davis. Sorry about that. Yeah.
I'm looking at Florial. He's been hot as of late in AAA, and he has a little bit of a major league track record. I would bring him up, and I would give him a look. If you feel you need to do that. I do not think they're going to bail on Lane Thomas. I mean, boy, that would be a terrible look. But looks don't really matter when you're trying to win the division.
And your manager doesn't manage that way either.
No, he doesn't.
He wants the best players out there that are going to help him win.
Yes, he does.
In any situation, which I actually really love. 216-474-0092, that's the number to call in. Mary Kay Cabot's going to join us at 11. Let's continue on with this Guardians conversation. One, are you concerned? Two, are you looking at these injuries going, man, that trade deadline did not work out for this team. This is not where we thought they were going. Yeah, I'll give you that. And obviously Chase DeLauder is knocking on the door if they're going to move him up to AAA. I don't know. Is he the answer? Is there an answer? And then I'm still looking at this going, they're 20 games over 500. Just chill, Andy, just chill. I don't know that everyone's chilling, though. 20 games over 500. That's what your Guardians are. I'm also curious, Jeff, and I'm going to ask you this in a second. When will you panic? When will you panic with this team?
Mid-October, and they're watching other teams play baseball.
So you're not going to worry about it until when the playoffs hit?
No.
Wouldn't it not be a major disappointment if they're not playing and other teams are?
Disappointment, yes. This is the way I've said it. It would be disappointing. I won't be angry about it because I didn't expect this team to give us this much fun so far this season, and I didn't expect this team to play this well.
I never expect this from a rookie manager. I'll tell you that. That to me,
I never expected it from this roster. Rookie manager, you never know.
Well, I thought
this roster, Andy, doesn't scream playoff team to me. Mm-hmm. But by God, there it is.
I think once the bullpen settled in and you had trust in the bullpen and what we had thought was going to be great starting pitching to start the season. That turned real quick, and they were able to piecemeal everything together all season long. It's the bats, especially the last couple of days, that really scare me, especially in a scenario like Milwaukee, where you do have to give Milwaukee credit. And you know, they played good baseball, but that's supposed to be a hitter's park there, and they just could not muster up any runs. Going back and looking at the trade deadline, what does this do for your image of the front office, right? Alex Cobb, busted fingernail.
They can't help that.
But they did know that he had some issues coming in, right? We all know that.
Okay.
So they took a chance with him. And then Lane Thomas, I don't know that anybody expected. I mean,
he was not the guy on my radar.
I don't know that he was on it. But when they brought him in, it made sense. Like his resume made sense for the type of guy they like in their clubhouse.
Dano, how did you describe him?
He is an A-plus human being who...
You said a perfect Guardian player.
Yeah.
Yep. That's what you said.
And he wasn't the only one. We had other folks that were saying that too.
I mean, he's exactly a Guardian type of player. And that's not a bad thing. Obviously, it's worked for them. But so far, and I don't know the guy. He seems like he's a good guy. I mean, love the fact that he busted a move to get in the lineup as quickly as he could. That was great. Happy to be here. That's great. Man, I hope he starts to hit because he was their big move. Cobb was not their big move. Their big move was going out and getting Lane Thomas, and that's just not worked. And so we all hope he starts to get it together.
All right, so what does this tell you about the organization? I'll tell you what this tells me is that every year we go through this thing at the trade deadline, and we all get fear of missing out, and sometimes the Guardians jump right back at you and say, well... You know, we got a player back from injury. That's as good as making a trade. Or they don't make a trade, and you're disappointed and you're upset with the organization when you felt like they could have gone out and done something. I'll compare last year to this year, because last year it felt like the organization let Terry Francona and the team down by not making a move. In fact, you know, letting players like Savali go. And it felt like they went in the wrong direction when they were right on the verge of being able to do something great. This year, they didn't. They went out and they did something. Now, these two moves haven't you know, panned out the way I think everyone wanted them to, especially at the plate for Lane Thomas. But I think the thing to learn here, and if you can just bottle it and just hang on to it and then bring it out at the trade deadline next year, is that sometimes making a move to just make a move isn't always the best scenario. And when they preach patience, it's not always about economy. It's about trying to figure out what they have, wanting to work with what they have, and not going out and making a silly move. So to me, it teaches patience to me moving forward, and I'm trying to be optimistic about it. What's it say about the organization?
Andy, they made moves at the trade deadline that made sense. I mean, they did. They needed an outfielder. They went out and traded for an outfielder, a guy with a track record. It hasn't worked out. They needed a starting pitcher. I thought they made a pretty shrewd move. That Alex Cobb trade I thought was pretty interesting. You might have thought it was a bit of a gamble, but you know they checked him out. They thought, hey, one more start and he's... I mean, who thinks a guy's going to end up with a busted fingernail? I mean, seriously, who thinks that? And then, let's see what happens tonight. Good gracious, man. Matthew Boyd looked phenomenal his first time out. That was a smart move by the organization. They watched him pitch. They watched a lot of people pitch. They were one of like 12 teams that went to Matthew Boyd's tryout, mm-hmm. You know, his little audition, and they signed him. Man, if he goes out tonight and pitches well in Yankee Stadium, good for him.
They also took their time bringing him up.
They let him get healthy. Well, they had to. You know, he's coming back from Tommy John. You don't bring that guy back until he's ready to go. And they might have been overly cautious. It was smart that he spent his off days in the Major League clubhouse, you know, break down that little barrier, get to know these guys. Let's see what he does tonight. I mean, you have to consider the Boyd a trade deadline move too, because they knew they weren't going to get him until August.
I agree with that.
So that one hopefully is working out. I can't be mad at them because Lane Thomas is hitting .113. Who thought that? I can't be mad at them that Alex Cobb ends up with a busted fingernail, because I think they made the right moves. What I do wonder now, though, Andy, is, okay, if Lane Thomas isn't working out for you, what are you going to do? Because your offense hasn't been good. And if you,
I think they're ready to bring DeLauder up. If we talked about this before the show.
Let me just throw this at you, though.
Okay.
DeLauder was hot in Double A. Okay. Can you move him up to Triple A?
Yeah.
Estevan Florial has played in the last 15 days. Okay, I'm just looking at who's hot. In 9 games in the last 15 days, he's hitting .400 with 4 home runs and 11 runs batted in 9 games. Man.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And you need something, and you need it now. I'm sending Freeman or Schneeman back to AAA, and I'm giving Florial a shot. And if he comes up and he's not good, I'm going to send him down and see who the next hot guy is. Is it Jonathan Rodriguez? You might be duplicating things with Junkenzie Noel. Is it Kyle Manzardo, who's not been hot, but on the season has like 17 home runs in AAA? I mean, he's hitting like .188 over his last 7 games. It's not good. And I think about that trade a little bit. You gave up Aaron Civale, who's not, you know, not lighting it up, but he lit up the Guardians the other day. Milwaukee,
and still not in Tampa anymore either.
Right.
So
well, Milwaukee is a first place team, and Milwaukee made a move to go get him. And don't you wish he were in the rotation right now? I do. And Manzardo's not contributing.
Dave is in Bay Village. Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys. I don't wish Plesac was in our rotation. I'm sorry.
I didn't mention the name Plesac, Dave.
You said Civale.
Civale. I'm sorry. Yeah. I stand corrected. Sorry about that. But, you know, you guys were talking about, you know, what this all means. And I've subscribed to this theory for a long time. And I know the popular thing is to win headlines in the off season and to win headlines in the trading deadline. And basically what this tells me is just because you're making headlines or making news doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, that things are going to follow suit as you plan. I mean, it's all a gamble. It doesn't sound like Cobb is going to be out that long. You know, and as far as, you know, your question about panicking, I guess I'm not, because as you look at all the teams in MLB, everybody's gone through a rough patch, and I don't think it's realistic to think you're going to grab first place in the spring and never relinquish it at some point during the year anyway.
Hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. Good stuff. Yeah. It's a long season, and they've got to weather the storm right now. That's what it is.
I do wish Civale was in the rotation right now. Please act no. Cal Quantrill, yes. I wish he was here too. But they're not, so they've got to make do. And I would assume they're going to either call somebody up to start tomorrow in what would have been Cobb's turn, or if somebody else is ready to go who's here right now. But, you know, you bring up Cantillo maybe. We'll see.
Let's go out to Summit County. Raymond's in Hudson. Hi, Raymond. How are you?
Pretty good. How are you guys doing?
Good. What's a good word?
Well, I don't know if it's a good word, but you guys were talking about the minor leaguers and stuff, and that's one thing I do follow a lot. And this is a little bit – this is kind of a criticism of Vogt. When they brought up Manzardo, they didn't play him. They picked and chose their spots. And part of the thing is, if you're going to bring up a young guy, you let him go and you let him make his mistakes. They did it with Kwan. They did it with other ones. Now they've done it with Freeman. They did it with Arias. And here's the thing. We're finding out who can play and who can't. But I totally blame them for, like, Manzardo's been horrible in AAA since he went down. And I keep going
back.
When
you say them, who are you? You're blaming the front office, right?
I'm blaming the front office, but I'm bringing Vogt. For you give a guy one or two at bats and then you pinch him for him, I'm like, they're not going to get in the rhythm.
Yeah, I don't know if that's coming from the front office to pinch hit him or not either. Managers aren't what managers used to be.
Yeah. I'm saying Vogt. This is my criticism of Vogt.
Well, no, what I'm saying is that may not be Vogt's call. Vogt might be getting the word from the front office to pinch hit him in the middle of a game. It's a real reality of the game these days.
Yeah, but one of the things is with hitters, you know they have to get in the groove.
I agree.
You know they might have to see a pitcher three times before they get what's going on. But I just wanted to go back to one guy who in AAA, when he was up and then sent back down, who's been consistent. There's one guy, and if there's one guy I'm going to give a shot at right field to, besides Big Christmas, who everybody loves Big Christmas, it's Rodriguez. He's been consistent all year in AAA. They did the same thing when they brought him up. They did to Manzardo. He hit twice, but we want to pinch hit for him then. I'm like, he's the one guy that I would like to see him stick in there and leave go, because he's been a solid 290 hitter the entire time. I mean, people have gone nuts over Villara for how long, and the guy's a 245 hitter. He's not even a good triple A hitter.
Raymond, let me ask you this. Floreal, going back a little further, last 16 games is hitting .383. You want to try and strike while he's hot and give him the chance again? Bring him back? Yep. I know he wasn't good when he was here.
You have a very valid point, because the guy was a top prospect and he never got his footing here. Mm-mm. The only thing I would warn against with that, because I don't want to see Arias again. I don't care he's hitting .350. he got 500 some at bats or 400 some at bats in triple in the bigs. Same thing with Freeman. You're trying these guys out, and yeah, sometimes they don't do well and they go back down. But then when they come back up, they hit better. That's not been the case.
Raymond and Hudson, thank you for the phone call. We appreciate it. Let's come back. We're going to switch gears. We'll talk more about the Guardians a little bit later in the show with Paul Hoynes from Cleveland.com. Mary Kay Cabot, speaking of Cleveland.com, joins us next, as she does every Tuesday at 11. We'll break down the Browns and try to figure out what's going on with those tackle spots. Mary Kay Cabot next, Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.